Hi, I'm Susie Larson. Here's the podcast for Live the Promise. Enjoy the conversation. Thanks so much for tuning in today. I'm Susie Larson, and this is Live the Promise. And we are here to help you engage in a strong and active walk of faith. Really glad you tuned in today. I'm glad you tuned in. If you're a faithful listener and you show up every day, I can't tell you how much I appreciate you. I want to tell you I'm glad you tuned in if you're brand new to the Faith Radio family. And I'm glad you tuned in if you stumbled on the dial and you have no faith to speak of. You wonder what you're doing here. I know what you're doing here. God brought you here. He wants to encourage you today. So I pray you'll keep listening. In fact, we've got a really important show for you today. And I'm going to start off by asking a few questions. Hang with me, will you? How many marriages today would you guess are on life support? How many marriages today are on life support? How many couples are just getting by? And for those couples who are just getting by, who barely have a pulse, at what cost to their souls and to their story, the story that God has for them? And is it possible to divorce-proof your marriage? You think it's possible? What are the steps for building, or if you have to rebuild, a strong marriage? Well, my good friends, Dr. Greg and Aaron Smalley, are back on the program from Focus on the Family, and they're here to offer hope and encouragement for hurting marriages. You're not going to want to miss what they have to say. We'll get them on in just a moment here. A quick announcement, though. Want to pitch our Faith Radio app because it's free and it's amazing. We've got thousands listening from around the world because of that amazing app. So if you've not downloaded it yet, what you waiting for? You can go to the Apple App Store on Google Play and check it out. Just do the search Faith Radio Network. You'll find it. You can live stream our shows from anywhere. You can catch the podcast from after the fact. People are loving that thing. Just want you to be aware of it. It's a great service for you, right? Well, let me tell you about my guests. We'll get them on the show. Dr. Greg Smalley serves as Vice President of Marriage and Family Formation at Focus on the Family. In this role, he develops and oversees initiatives that prepare individuals for marriage, strengthen and nurture existing marriages, and helps couples in marital crisis. Well, Aaron Smalley serves as a strategic marriage spokesperson for Focus and in their marriage ministry. She also is an author and a conference speaker, and she works alongside Greg at marriage enrichment seminars where they guide couples in taking steps towards enjoying deeply satisfying marriages. They've been married since 1992. They have three daughters, a son, and a son-in-law, and they reside in Colorado Springs. And we're so honored to have them back with us today. Greg and Aaron, welcome back to the show.
So good to be with you.
Yes, great to be with you.
It's been a while, at least
I
for me.
I missed you guys a lot. I don't laugh
I
enough
I
when you're not around.
Blacklisted or something.
Yeah. Well, we like to make the joke that we changed our numbers, but we really didn't, Greg. It's just, you know, you've been busy. We've been busy.
I know, because I was on Valentine's Day, so yeah. I don't know why they didn't
and
have
And we conveniently
you.
Yeah, didn't I, really tell him, did we?
Yeah, we didn't invite him.
Sorry,
I call and I get Domino's pizza yeah. number, so that's interesting.
But we got you here now, and we're super glad. So, well, you guys have been on
yes.
a gajillion times, so you know the drill, like you could do it in your sleep. But so, Aaron, I'll start with you. Is there a verse you've been thinking about these days you can share with us?
Yes, I love this verse, Hebrews 10:24-25. It says, "And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and in good works, not neglecting to meet together, as it is the habit of some, but encouraging one another." I just love that because it is, I think in our this day and age in our culture, there's so much negativity and news that just isn't super encouraging. And we have the opportunity to stir each other up towards love and good works and to encourage each other. And I want that to be who I am and how I show up in my marriage and in my friendships and with my coworkers.
Boy, Aaron, you think about if we really all took that to heart, how much flourishing would happen around us, you know, in not only marriages and our kids and our
yeah.
neighborhoods and our workplaces. If that were the goal, I mean, imagine what could happen.
Yeah, it would be just absolutely life-changing.
Yep.
And indeed. We just to think we can start with us and mm-hmm. how we show up.
Very good. How about you, Greg?
Yeah, I was thinking about this idea of divorce-proofing your marriage. And Susie, to your point, is how you opened today. Is that really possible? It makes me think about Malachi 2:13 through 15, but out of the Message version of the Bible. So I love the words. It says, God, not you, made marriage. So guard the spirit of marriage within you. For me, it really comes down to when I hear the news, you know, if a celebrity couple divorcing, you know, recently you heard Donald Trump Jr. and his wife divorcing, it always just makes me sad. I mean, first and foremost, I just go, man, hate that, you know, I wish there was something we could do. I wish we could help them. But then another part of what it does is it makes me think, and what am I doing to really guard and protect my marriage, as Malachi's talking about? Am I guarding? Am I doing the kinds of things that I need to be doing? Have I, you know, in a busy season, or, you know, something's going on at work or whatever's going on, am I lax in what I'm doing to really invest in my marriage, or invest in Erin as my wife? So part of it is, as we hear these things, I think it's good just to step back and reflect and go, okay, in this season of my own marriage, yeah, how are we divorce proofing? How are we guarding our marriage?
I think that's such a great question. And I want to say, first of all, I'm not at all saying this is the case with the Trumps and the reason for their divorce. But in general, I'd say that this selfie 5 minutes of fame culture is in direct conflict with building healthy relationships. I mean, you can't be obsessed with you and build a flourishing relationship with someone else in a way that helps them flourish. And you don't even have to be high profile. I'd love for both of you to speak to this. We don't have to be a high profile couple to be a selfie person. Do you know what I'm saying? Where we're so preoccupied with ourselves that we're not even aware if the other person is dying on the vine. And it's not compatible with the kind of relationship you're talking about. So, Erin, I'll start with you, but both of you just speak to that whole idea, because we are in a culture of 5 minutes of fame. Even if it makes me look bad, I got to be famous. Selfie pictures every which way we turn. And I think it's epidemic, and I don't think people realize how unhealthy it is. So what do you say, Erin?
Yeah, and it doesn't even, like you're saying, have to be on social media or in the news or your 5 seconds of fame. It can be right in your own living room, that you are, you know, completely self-focused and focused on your pain and how what your spouse is doing to hurt you, instead of looking at how am I contributing to the state of my marriage? How am I showing up as a healthy wife? And so it's you know, often when I'm working with couples, I'll just say, you know, who are you focusing on? And they'll say, them. And I'm like, yep, you sure are. And, you know, where's that getting you? And they're like, nowhere, because it causes defensiveness. And, you know, and really, when they're focusing on what the other person is doing, really who they're focusing on is how they're being hurt, how it's impacting them. And that just doesn't work.
You know, it's like, yeah, the self-preoccupation destroys a relationship, or a preoccupation with another's flaws is also destructive. Well, what do you say, Greg? Speak to that, if you would.
Yeah, I like what you guys were saying. I think, as I think about what it takes to have a great marriage, you have to attend to three relationships always. It's you, your spouse, and your marriage. And those have to be in balance. And therefore, if you are over focusing on one of those and neglecting others or one other, it causes a strain. So, for example, if I am so focused on our marriage that I'm maybe neglecting myself, that's ultimately not going to turn out well. At the same time, to your point, if I'm overindulging me and focused on my career and in that selfie generation and neglecting then my marriage or my spouse, that's also going to create a problem. So I think in a very simplistic way, it's looking at those three, going, I need to be investing and attending to all three of those. So the question becomes, am I doing that? What does that look like? And so it's we know plenty of people who neglect themselves to the detriment to where they down the road, you know, have lost them. They're empty, and that doesn't serve a marriage well. At the same time, if I'm just focused on me and my career and in my 5 minutes of of fame, or we're putting ourselves in a real public place to where there's so many pressures and neglecting the other, Aaron and or my marriage, that's going to create problems as well.
Mm-hmm. Wow, that's good. We've got about a minute or two to this first break, Greg. But if you were to look at those three, line them up side by side, is there one that you think that is a predominant focus for most? I mean, do most people bend towards one of these three, or would you just say it just is really quite spread out?
You know, I think in some ways, because of the culture that we live in right now with Facebook, with Instagram, with the way in which that we can broadcast what we're going through and what we're doing, and there's sort of that focus, that it's easy to focus on ourselves, but I would say in unhealthy ways, in ways that aren't keeping us full. Because we always say you have to invest in you enough to get full so you can give out of a place of abundance. I mean, the greatest commandment is saying that you need to love God and love others as you love yourself. So it's assuming that we're doing a good job taking care of ourselves, we're doing the right things that keep us full so that we have something to give out. But I would just say, unfortunately, I think a lot of people are doing things, focusing on themselves in a way that is very different than God instructs in his mind that we're supposed to be doing. So I don't think we're doing a good job of taking care of ourselves, although we're a very self-focused culture.
Why? You know, Jesus said in so many words, things are proven right by their fruit. And so you think about a healthy self-focus bears fruit so that you can love others well and others are nourished by the way you steward your life. An unhealthy self-focus drains life from other people. And so let's pause here for this break, but maybe that's a great indicator for what's the fruit of this, of my obsession, either with my spouse's flaws, with my needs, or with holding the marriage together. When we come back, we're going to talk about 8 ways to divorce-proof your marriage. If you've got questions or comments, not taking calls today, but we'll sure take emails. You can email me, Susie@myfaithradio.com. Susie@myfaithradio.com. If you've got a question for the Smalleys, we'll try to get to it for sure. All right, we'll be back in a minute. Really glad you tuned in today. Thanks for listening. I'm Susie Larson. This is The Promise. Glad to have my dear friends, Dr. Greg and Aaron Smalley, on the show. We get them on a couple times a month. They're from Focus on the Family, from beautiful Colorado Springs, and so generous with their time. Talking today about 8 ways to divorce-proof your marriage. And I would love for you to, before we dig into these, you guys, talk about how this idea first came to you, because you're doing marriage intensive. So you're talking with couples who are on life support, but you also do these preventative type conferences, so to speak, where people are coming who want to build strength into their marriage. And you've got a practice, Aaron, where you're meeting individual couples. Do you feel hopeful? Do you feel kind of burdened for where people are at? Tell me just what you're thinking as far as divorce-proofing your marriage and how possible it is. And Greg, we'll start with you.
Well, first of all, to Malachi 2:13 and 15, that it says that God, not you, made marriage, that his spirit inhabits even the tiniest parts of your marriage. And to me, that is so encouraging to remember that the God of this universe, who has no limitations, can do anything, is all about our marriage, that covenant that we made with him. And he's always there fighting with us within our marriage. And so that alone gives me tremendous hope. We've seen story after story. We've counseled couple after couple in circumstances that I just went, wow, there's no way this couple will make it. And to watch God do a miracle. And that we know enough, there's enough great information, there are enough great counselors, there's programs like what we call Hope Restored, that's our marriage intensive program, out there that the help is available, in not to minimize this, but you've always got God fighting for you too.
That is what I see, that Christian couples come in for counseling, for marital counseling, and so often, and I'm included in this, so often we do not take advantage of this amazing source of love and strength and insight and wisdom that we have. And that's God and the Holy Spirit. And so often I see these couples just not like, it's almost like a box that's been set aside from their marriage relationship, and really putting him back into the center makes such a difference.
Boy, such a good word. Okay. So what I hear from both of you is, yes, it's hard, but there is hope. We have God. We even have tools and skills, and we can do this. So let's talk. Okay. 8 ways to divorce-proof your marriage. 1 is stay committed. Greg, what do you say?
You know, I think that most of us, if not 99% of us on our wedding day, stood up and said that we were committing to a lifelong marriage. So we've made that. We made that covenant relationship with God. And I think oftentimes we sort of forget about the daily active ways to protect and guard our commitment beyond sort of this decision to stay married. And it's something that we need to think about. In a couple of things that Aaron and I really focus in on when we talk about commitment is recognize what is it about your marriage. So I'm not talking about your spouse. So I can look at Aaron and I can run through a whole bunch of things. Matter of fact, she just had a birthday and I gave her a card. So I won't tell you how many, but I gave her one thing. one thing that I love about her that is my favorite thing about her for every year she's been alive.
Oh, and so, that's amazing.
You know, so really it was about 19 things because she's basically a 19-year-old. So it's easy to see what I love about my wife. The question is, your marriage is a living, breathing entity as well. What is it about your marriage that you love? For example, just the fun that I get to live every day with my best friend, and we play and we laugh and we have a good time. And I'm just picking that one. So I love that. That's one of the things I love about our marriage, is that it's filled with a lot of fun. I think the more that you can recognize what is it about your marriage that you love, it's your favorite thing. It's that verse that says, where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. The more I value something, the more I see its value, the more my heart is turned towards that thing. So I think a part of commitment is recognizing, boy, you know what, it's not that my marriage is perfect. It's not that we don't have hard times. We have good times. There are ugly moments in our marriage. All that's true. But what is it that makes my marriage so valuable? And if you can actually create a list and look at that thing periodically, that just shores up your value. And again, your heart will turn towards what you treasure.
And I love to, go ahead. The thought of, you know, reframing. So you go through these difficult times in your marriage, the challenges, the really hard seasons, and to recognize that what happens as you find your way through those seasons, that you're cultivating grit. And I love to talk about marital grit. And it's like that sand, you know, the sandiness, or the sand that forms a pearl, or the grittiness that is in a wound as it heals. And it's this gift that we're given as a result of sticking through those difficult times. There are gifts on the other side. Mm-hmm. And I love to think of that and to reflect on that.
I think that's so great. And so to start with gratitude, with counting your blessings of the things you love about your spouse and about your marriage, you know, gratitude does give you a divine perspective. I just think we go spiritually blind when we're practicing ingratitude. So I think it's a perfect way to frame the relationship. I'm also thinking the flip side, though, when you're saying stay committed, what are some subtle commitment threateners? I've just made up a term here, but I mean, things that threaten the commitment that we might minimize. Well, for one, I'm sure is the opposite of what you're saying. We nitpick and we focus on the negative, but I'm sure there are other things that show with our actions or maybe our attitudes, I'm not proving my commitment to you. I mean, you know what I'm saying, Greg and Aaron? I'd love for you to both speak to it, but yeah. Greg, go ahead. Go ahead, Aaron.
You know, what I would say is that when we do not guard our marital relationship and the uniqueness, specialness of it, that, you know, often we'll open ourselves up to different relationships. And if we're opening up ourselves to relationships with the opposite sex and forming connections that are not edifying to our marriage relationship, you are playing with fire. Because when you start sharing a little bit deeper and a little bit deeper, or, you know, giving the message that, you know what, I'm available. You know what, when you are in a marriage relationship and you're committed to that, you are not giving off that aura. So it's important to recognize you've got to guard this marriage relationship from outside influences. Don't allow outside influences in to rob you of what you have.
Boy, that's a good word. I have a friend from years ago, and she was just dying a slow death in her marriage, and she's still owned responsibility for this. She had an affair, but she was. She said, we were at a writer's conference together, and she said, I could tell by looking at you, you had no opening. There was nothing in you that was even, when you were talking to men or women, there was no opening in you. But she said, I could look around that whole room and tell you who was open to an extramarital affair. And this was a Christian writers conference. And I'm like, are you kidding? She goes, you'd be surprised. But there is, you communicate, I'm available, just like you're saying, Erin. And I think that would start first in the heart and the mind. And then you give off a sense of receptivity to people you shouldn't, right?
Right. Well, especially when you're not, if you're valuing something, you're guarding it, you're protecting it, you're doing everything you can to make sure it's safe. But when you're not valuing your marriage, that's exactly the scent you give off. So if you're struggling with this, go back and like Greg was saying, recognize what is it that is valuable about this marriage relationship. Then you can go on to what's valuable about your spouse, but really, what is it that you love about this marriage? You may be in a very difficult time and you're going to start noticing the things you don't appreciate in your marriage, but, you know, take time to step back and focus on what is it? What is it even through, you know, the best of seasons? What was it? What is it today? What is it for the future that I want to guard in my marriage?
Greg, we got about a minute to our hard break at the bottom. I'd say another way that's something that threatens commitment is an unwillingness to make adjustments along the way, whether it's your work schedule, your commitments, your hobbies. Say a word about that, because that speaks volumes. If the spouse is going, this is getting to be a bit much, and you just make excuses, that threatens commitment, doesn't it?
It does. The inflexibility, a rigidness, it's got to look like this. Both people need to have room in the marriage. There has to be room for both. And I know that it took Erin and I've heard research that it takes about anywhere from 9 to 12 years to really go from I to we, to really go from things being about me and what I want to get out of it to truly functioning as in oneness, unity. And I think what's important about that is that because we're fighting our natural urge, because you know, we are selfish, and that's our natural tendency. That's sort of our default. You know, look out for me. What do I want? It's about me. And so just give yourself that space to go, okay, this is going to take a while to really cultivate this, but it really need, both people need to be included in the marriage. It's got to be about the team.
Oh, love that. Talking to Dr. Greg and Erin Smalley today from Focus on the Family, 8 ways to divorce-proof your marriage. When we come back, we'll tackle number 2, proactively invest in your spouse. Don't go away. More great conversation up ahead.
You're the kind of all my day.
Thanks so much for tuning in today. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise. Having a really great conversation with my good friends, Dr. Greg and Erin Smalley, talking about ways to divorce-proof your marriage, 8 ways to divorce-proof your marriage. We talked stay committed. And literally, you guys, we could talk an hour on each of these points. They're so good. So here's number 2, proactively invest in your spouse. Erin, we'll start with you.
Yeah, and again, it's an opportunity that we have, you know, based on how we're viewing this marriage. Well, then there's, like Greg said, there's three entities existing within this system, and that's, you know, a husband, a wife, and the marriage coming together. But I have the opportunity to invest in Greg each and every day. I love 1 John 3:16 says, this isn't how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers and sisters. Well, you know what? I have that opportunity to regularly lay my life down for Greg and invest in him and make sure that he's thriving and, you know, being his biggest cheerleader and coming alongside and rooting him on and sacrificing my time, my energy,
Greg
my
wants to
money.
Kiss you right now. I'm just saying. Yeah, he's listening to you.
He's like leaping across the table. I know. He's like, oh, I can't wait to see that.
You meet later, baby.
Don't we need to go to a break?
Yeah. Sorry, I know Greg to know he's got that happy dumb face going
right now. He was fidgeting. Fidgeting.
You were killing it though, Aaron.
Yeah, but it's true. It's true. Thanks, Susie. Yeah.
Well, and I saw this in a practical way yesterday. You know, the last thing that Aaron wanted to do was to haul our youngest daughter to a speech appointment, to the orthodontist, to all these things. And I mean, that's Aaron sacrificing for me as well.
But then, Susie, we went out to dinner to celebrate our Garrison, our son, and Annie needed soccer cleats for today. And I was like, I've been at speech and I've been at the orthodontist. It's been 4.5 hours. And he said, you know what? I'll take her. So he took her to the sporting goods store and got her new cleats and shin guards and socks. And it meant the world to me because that meant I got to go home and go for a walk.
So that's investing in your spouse sometimes is doing something for one of your children. That's fantastic.
Hmm. Yeah, to sacrifice. I mean, to Aaron's point, that verse says, this is how we know what love is. And it's all about laying down our life, which is a great way to do that. Another one of my favorite ways to invest in Aaron is just to keep aware of what is she dreaming about? What does she feel God calling her to do right now? Even a real simple thing is to ask her, you know, what's on your bucket list? And I have that list of things that she wants to do before she dies. So there, I've got about 20 of these on my iPhone under the notes section, because these are the things that she is dreaming about. And I want to be a dream maker. You know, one of my very favorite stories in the Bible is about King Saul's son, Jonathan. As they are at war with the Philistines, so this is in 2 Samuel, that Jonathan just gets this vision from God, clear direction that he's supposed to go take his young armor bearer, and the two of them scale a big cliff and go attack the Philistines. And so that's Jonathan's dream. And had I heard that, had I been the young armor bearer, I'd be like, bro, you're crazy. Like, it's the two of us and only one of us has armor. So what, are we going to scale a, you know, 200-foot cliff and then go attack with your one sword? You know, versus what I love is this young armor bearer says, do all that you have in mind. I am with you heart and soul.
That's beautiful. Amazing.
I mean, isn't that an awesome line? And that's what I want my attitude to be with Aaron is she – becomes aware of these individual callings, these dreams. That's what my attitude. I want her to know that do all that you have in mind. I am with you, heart and soul. That's a part of how we can invest in one another.
This
be
a
dream maker.
I love it. I know it's a tangent, but I have to know. Can you just share a couple of your bucket list things, Aaron?
Sure. I'm trying to think lately because we just.
I can tell. I know these.
Well, no, we all just right, taught this weekend at a marriage event. And it's so funny because every time we ask the couples to do that, we will do that up on the stage. And it's just it's funny because new things come up continuously. That's why we have to continuously seek to know each other. Mm-hmm. And so this weekend, my latest one is with this big birthday I just had, you know, just pursuing health, you know, just full health is a bucket list for me that I want to continue to do that. And I can't, Greg, what did you say? I'm trying to.
Well, I know that another one for you was she wanted to, it's been a while since she had a private practice seeing counseling clients and really wanted to do that. And
she's
and
doing
that's
it.
Been one and she is.
I'm
and so
doing
over the
it.
Last what 6 months or so. And yet that's something that we've all had to in the family adjust
mm-hmm,
to because
mm-hmm,
it requires
for sure.
evenings. It's required other things that
sacrifices.
Yeah,
for
that
sure.
wouldn't have been my choice. But knowing that that's important to her, that's a calling that she feels from the Lord. Then I'm with her heart and soul.
That's beautiful. Okay, how about this one? Proactively invest in your marriage. So we're talking about investing in your spouse. Now invest in your marriage because you say love is not self-sustaining. What do you say?
It is. You know, I love that, that love is not self-sustaining because the biggest assumption that I see over and over again is that people assume that, you know, we don't have to invest. You know, we got married and, you know, we've heard it's not going to be super easy. But when you start looking at that, we have to do things each and every day to invest because this is not going to sustain itself. And if it's then people assume, well, it's hard. So, you know, what are we doing wrong? But you know what? The bottom line, you've even through those difficult seasons, you continue to invest and pour into this relationship. And, you know, there's different ways spiritually as Christian couples, we can come together and daily spend time together praying, you know, reading God's word, doing a quick devotional before you run out the door, you know, weekly. Going to weekly fellowship, you know, maybe in a small group or a church community. And then annually doing something, a service adventure. And so serving God in some sort of way together is it's deeply, it's gratifying and it breeds intimacy. Mm. So those are just three quick ways that you can invest in your spiritual relationship, in your marriage.
Would you add anything, Greg?
Yeah, there's lots of things. So the question would be, yeah, what is it that we do that helps to keep our marriage strong? So again, there's your spouse. So you've got to invest in your spouse, but this marriage entity in our physical relationship. So again, I can't remember if we're ever allowed to use another word to describe that on radio. Sex is an important, it's an incredible gift that God's given us. And that's an important part of us shoring up our relationship. Our marriage is our intimacy in a busy culture. Issues going on. I mean, there could be past baggage. There might be physical challenges, you know, as we age. I mean, all that. But recognizing that it's still something that we need to continue to fight for, mm-hmm. and that physical intimacy and knowing what that looks like. And is Aaron's husband? How do I woo her? How do I earn my way into the bed? In a sense of really recognizing that. That there, you know, this just isn't about the physical act for Aaron. It's an emotional component. So how do I do that in a way? And for Aaron, you know, to know that's massively important to me. In what does that look like when we have kids that we've got to run to the orthodontist and clients that she has to see? And how can we protect that energy and that openness to experience that together? That's a big deal. God,
yeah, you have to
God
be intentional.
Gave us that.
Mm-hmm. mm-hmm. Yeah, that's one of those, it's not self-sustaining, you know?
No.
You've got to put energy, time, focus, give time and space for it. And another thing that you suggest in this point of investing in your marriage is practice life-giving communication. Explain what that is, Erin.
Yeah, there's research out there that shows that 10 minutes a day of really sharing who you are and your spouse sharing who they are, so we call it to know and be known, can make such a huge difference in our relationship. Because you think about, you know, the early days of your marriage or engagement or dating, that you spent a lot of time doing that naturally. And then with busyness, the orthodontist, speech therapy, getting soccer cleats, all that takes time away from focusing on each other. And so 10 minutes a day, that's it. It's not like we're asking for 10 hours a day. Instead, it's 10 minutes a day of just connecting and sitting at lunch or sitting when you are drinking your morning coffee or, you know, after kids are in bed, you know, of just really connecting heart to heart and learning that deeper level stuff about your spouse. What is he fearing? What was the most stressful thing of his day? What is he dreaming about? What's he looking forward to over the summer? I mean, there's so many different ways that you can approach this and ways you can connect heart to heart.
Very good. Greg, do you want to add anything to that?
Yeah, I think the reality is that life-giving communication, that doesn't happen naturally. What happens naturally is us trying to manage our life together. So we've got to talk a lot of business kind of stuff. Who's picking up the kids? Who's going to get the cleats? Who's going to the orthodontist appointment? Hey, don't forget the milk. And by the way, we've got this bill coming up. And hey, what about our summer schedule? We've got to start mapping that out. That's the stuff that will monopolize your marriage as far as communication goes. If you let that consume you, it will. Because it takes a lot to run our life together with four kids and jobs and all of that, which is the point is that this has to be intentional. It just won't fall into your lap. We have to strive for this. Yesterday, after all that busyness, our son Garrison, who's an avid Oklahoma City Thunder basketball fan, so the game was on last night. He wanted me to watch that. Aaron came down at one point and said, I got to tell you about the wildest thing that happened tonight. And I had a choice. I could either say, Aaron, I'm worn out. Okay, I was just with Annie shopping for cleats for an hour. Leave me alone. I need to relax.
But she sure liked the cleats. You got her.
or I can see that it was a bid for connection on Aaron's part. She just came down and said, hey, strangest thing happened to me. And so what I did is I paused the DVR, and Garrison goes, hey, start the game up. And I just, Mom wants to talk about something. And so we had a quick conversation. It wasn't 10 minutes, I promise you that. But it was just a quick, she told me a story. We laughed and said, what do you think about this? And we just talked about it. Really, wow, that was so strange. Man, that sounded like that was hurtful. Blah, blah, whatever. And that's reality. It's not that necessarily that you're going to find this perfect 10 minutes and it'll be, you know, we can get into this deep stuff, kind of talk about our inner lives. I mean, that's nice and ideal, but come on, we're all busy. Just notice times that the other just tries to connect with you. We were driving in the car the other day in a Ford F-150 Raptor pulled up next to us. Now that means nothing to Erin. Like she's looking at me like, what? I said, oh my gosh, look at that. That's a Ford Raptor. That's about a, you know, $70,000-$80,000 truck. And so I said, oh, look at that Ford Raptor. That was a bid on my part to connect with her. She could have easily said, who cares? Who cares? Like we could never own one of those, whatever. I mean, you know, or she could have just ignored it.
And we see that a lot. We were with someone last week and you said, did you notice that when she tried to bring something up, he didn't even notice. And when you start really recognizing that even just the littlest of comments, that they are bids to connect with you. And as a husband and a wife, pay attention to those. It's a simple way to build into that connection.
Yeah, because Erin knows nothing about Ford Raptors. But her response was awesome. She took advantage of the connection. She went, wow, are those pretty fast? I was like, oh, man, 0-16, like 5 seconds. And
why in the world do they cost that much?
Yeah, and that was it. That was a minute, 30-second conversation. But in that moment, see, we connected. And so it's just, Susie, it's a matter of just looking for these quick little opportunities and taking advantage of them. That's the kind of stuff that keeps a marriage strong, that communication strong.
Well, you know, you answered my question for me because I was going to ask you both.
Well, you're welcome.
Thank you. Because I was going to say, you know, does life-giving communication look different, feel different for a man versus a woman? But it's so unique to the person. You're just saying, we just got to turn towards each other. We have to pause here for break. But I like that, where you're so attentive to the other person, you're turned towards them. You pick up those cues because on the flip side, when you miss that repeatedly, the person who's being missed, they know what it feels like to be missed, and you're not feeling invested in. So that is fantastic. That one little thing, friends listening today, costs you nothing except time and attentiveness. No money. You know, you don't have to put anything on the credit card. You turn towards your spouse. You pay attention to them, and you connect when the invitation is there. You reach out. Wow, fantastic. Talking to Dr. Greg and Erin Smalley about ways to divorce-proof your marriage. When we come back, here's one. Practice healthy conflict. What does that look like? Smalley's always say, conflict is the doorway to intimacy. Talk more about that in a moment.
I wanna be different, I wanna be changed, till all of me is gone, and all that remains is a fire so bright, the whole world could say that there's something different, so come and be different in me.
Had to let that song play out a bit because it's such a powerful prayer. And you think about as we walk intimately with God, as we give Him access to our story, to our character, He changes us from the inside out. And that impacts how we show up in our relationships. And if you're married, in your marriage, for sure. Well, we're having a powerful conversation today with our good friends, Dr. Greg and Aaron Smalley, Focus on the Family, talking about ways to divorce-proof your marriage. And if you just hopped in the car, you just tuned in, this is one of those conversations. You're going to want to go back and catch the whole show. We'll make it very easy for you. After the live show, it'll be up in podcast form. You can listen to it. You can share it with friends. Don't miss this whole conversation. It's been so powerful and insightful. So another way to divorce-proof your marriage, you say, is to practice healthy conflict. Greg, you tackle this one first, if you would.
You know, some of the best research out there that shows why couples divorce, always one of the top is that we just never managed or mismanaged our conflict. We never learned how to go after our issues, the things that have hurt us, that have frustrated with us. Instead, we've swept that stuff under the rug. We avoid it. We're not dealing with it. So unresolved conflict in a marriage will slowly kill your relationship because you bury every feeling alive. So the frustration, the hurt, that wasn't that big of a deal that we swept under the rug, that thing festers and it will come out. And over time, when people don't manage their conflict, things don't feel safe. In versus, man, God wants us to deal with these things.
Mm-hmm. And I've seen consistently working with couples that they'll go in, like when something happens in their relationship or they're experiencing high conflict, maybe it's in the first 5 years of their relationship. And then, you know, maybe they'll tackle it just a little bit, but a lot of it gets swept under the rug. And then they hit 25 years, you know, 15, 20, 25 years, and it explodes. And they're like, where did this come from? And, you know, I love the thought that Greg just shared of these things are buried alive. They will fester. They lose it. So why not just go in when something happens or when you're struggling, go in and seek help from a pastor, a Christian counselor, a mentor, and work through whatever the challenge is so it doesn't fester and explode at 25 years.
You know, that's so good. And I'm going to say this, and I may step on toes, but I'm saying this in great, great love. I think it's pride and it's fear to not want to go get help. I think every marriage needs counseling at some point. Because we walk through stormy, stormy seasons. So you imagine if stuff surfaces and one of the spouses says, we don't need counseling. I think behind that is fear or pride. I don't want anybody to know I'm struggling. But everybody struggles. That's why divorce is the rate is so high. And that's why there are amazing ministries to help that not to happen. And I know you guys are, as your counselors, you're huge proponents of this. We have to remove the negative stigma of shame around needing help in marriage. Wouldn't you say, Aaron?
Oh, gosh, absolutely. Absolutely. As we're talking, the image of an iceberg comes to mind. And, you know, you see an iceberg, you see the mountain of ice above the water. But underneath, there's another part of that iceberg, and it's full of all these emotions. And, you know, sometimes maybe you even see anger above the water. But underneath the water are these hurts and these real feelings that need to be addressed. And so why not go in and talk to someone? It takes bravery and courage to do that. And it is worth it. It is worth going in and being courageous and looking at what are we doing well? Where are we stuck? Why are we so at odds? What's going wrong? And get a tune up and then, you know, go on your way. And it's worth it.
And yeah. Susie, Focus has a great referral list. We've carefully vetted Christian counselors throughout our country. And so if you're thinking, boy, that, you know what, we need to do that. We've been lazy. We haven't done it. Just call 1-800-A-FAMILY, and we can recommend and give you the information for a counselor in your area, Christian counselor.
Mm-hmm. Well, you guys have said plenty of times in the show, in your early years, you needed help walking through trying times. And now look at how you're stewarding your gift to help others. And that really is what happens. I think when you walk through a hard time, you get the help you need. You stay humble and teachable. Suddenly you then have credibility to help others, you know, no matter what scale it is. Maybe you do end up being marriage counselors, but maybe you just end up being wise people who've been in the trenches together. But it's worth the fight, Greg, isn't it?
It really is. And when we say help, we would even look at that in two different ways. Help needs to come from building a strong community of Christian couples around you. So a small group within your church of good Christian friends who have the same values as you and the same passion for staying married. Because we can all be around people who constantly are ripping on a spouse or just talking about how they hate their marriage. You need to surround yourself with people who want to fight for their marriage, who want to fight for your marriage, and are willing to invest and be real and authentic. So we need community, and that's a part of getting help. And then at times when we hit struggles, it is so good to bring in a Christian counselor to help you walk through that in that season. This isn't like, hey, we got to stay in counseling for 2 years. Go in. Mm-hmm. This is what we need help on, and trust that God will bring the right person who's listening to the Holy Spirit who will help you do that. I mean, Aaron does such a great job of helping these couples, and there are thousands of Aarons throughout our country who are trained, equipped, and passionate to help you. So I think if we're humble enough to go, I need others, can't do marriage alone, and when we struggle, let's go get help quick. So we don't let hearts harden, then that's what we mean by help.
And I suppose before the concrete sets, so to speak, you know, that when it's still soft, it's still pliable, right?
Your husband would be so proud of you now, using a construction
analogy. Anytime I can insert a construction analogy,
really
he loves me more. But it's
really,
true,
really
right?
good.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think, too, surround yourself with people who are willing to be vulnerable and authentic, and especially in a couple small group. Like tonight we have small group. Greg probably doesn't know that. But we're surrounded by seven couples. Most have been married longer than we have, but they're willing to talk about, you know, what's going well, what are they struggling with, what are they fine tuning? Because then you know you're not alone, and you've got others that are working through stuff as well.
Boy, that's good. Well, the time has flown by, you two, and it's just appreciate again so much your investment in marriage. And as we get ready to wrap here, Aaron, wonder if you would pray for that couple on life support listening. And I think so often we want relief more than reconciliation, and sometimes relief is at great cost. Down the road, you look back and go, I wish I would have hung in there when it was hard. Would you pray for the couple who really does need to hang in there?
Sure. Lord, we come before you, and Jesus, I just ask that you touch the hearts of any couple that's listening, any person that's listening, that they are at the place of just wanting to call it quits in their marriage. Jesus, give them inspiration, give them hope, soften their hearts toward their spouse, give them eyes to see and ears to hear all that you have for them. You are the great healer, Lord, so we call upon you in Jesus' name. To touch the hearts of these couples. Lord, bring them the right resources, the right books, the right counselors, the right mentors to walk with them to the other side. Jesus, we trust you and we love you. In your precious and holy name, amen.
Lord, love you too so much. And just if friends want to connect with you and get you to come to their church to speak, how do they get a hold of you too?
They can contact Focus on the Family. Go to focusonthefamily.com. I believe it's /marriage events. So we would love to do that and love to connect with your listeners.
Yeah, and Susie, everything that we talked about comes from a book called Crazy Little Thing Called Marriage.
I'm all on somebody, and that's a great book. Wow. Well, love you too. Thank you for
love
joining
you too.
Us today.
Thanks for having us.
Let's not let so much time pass between visits this time, okay?
That's right.
Yeah, give me the right phone number. And it
Greg, it's all your fault. All right. You've been listening to Live the Promise. I'm Susie Larson. In just a bit, you'll find a podcast of today's program up on our website at myfaithradio.com. Coming up next, I'll talk to Dr. Carol Peters-Tanksley about overcoming fear and anxiety. We'll talk about the physiological, spiritual, emotional impact of fear and anxiety. Great conversation up ahead, so don't go away. Hour two is up next. Thanks for listening to this conversation from Live the Promise. These podcasts are available because of listener support. You can make a gift now at myfaithradio.com. And thanks for sharing this audio link with a friend. Help grow the impact of the show. Also, if you would, take a moment to subscribe to the podcast today at iTunes or your podcast player, and then never miss a show.